Molas, 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 molas. Molas, 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 molas. Molas, molas, molas.
Come and get less with me. All the pints are bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back once more for episode 115 of the Rugbiz Podcast. Happy New Year to you all. And of course, I am joined in 2023 once again for what feels like a thousand times by Archie Curzon.
Uh-oh. How are you? Uh-oh. I said, hey, boy, sitting in the tree. Why don't you come and listen to the Rugbiz with me? Aren't you shy? Straighten up your tie. Let's go and listen to some really good podcast chat.
Oh my God.
That's I just listened to some Bewitched this morning in the gym, and I just thought that those words are perfect for the pod.
Well, Happy New Year, sir.
Mate, happy new beer.
Happy new beer. Great to see you.
Good to see you, mate. Yeah.
You're looking good. Your skin's looking better. Yeah. You're looking trim. Is that the giving up the booze?
Yeah. Dry Jan, mate. And it's I feel phenomenal. I've got to be honest. Like, inside, I feel great. I'm seeing great results in the gym, but also on the outside, when I tell people I'm doing it, you get just this great energy.
Yeah.
You know, like, no, mate, I'm doing dry Jan. You know, I just go into Gales and I say, oh, no, I'm doing dry Jan. I mean, there's nothing alcoholic there. But, you know, I'm just letting people know.
Yeah, you're just walking into random establishments.
So, yeah, I feel great. January's kicked off with a bang. I'm glad to be back on the pod. I feel refreshed. I feel rejuvenated. The chat is on point. The rig is getting there, mate. And, you know, obviously doing dry Jan, but then get to Feb, mate. I'll be absolutely
just in time for the Six Nations.
Yeah. Cannot bloody wait. We've got some very exciting stuff coming up.
We've got some very exciting stuff all over the place, which is incredibly exciting. A big year. World Cup in September. Huge. Are you looking forward to it? Borthwick in charge now. Kevin Sinfield. Oh,
yeah, it's a great combination. Really interesting fact about the new head coach of England, Steve Borthwick. Very famously, I am probably one of the only people in the world that has actually physically egged him.
You have, haven't you?
I have thrown an egg on his face and he didn't know it was me.
Well, it's weird because back in 2020 when he first told that story, he was a bit of a nobody. He drifted away. He wasn't playing rugby. He wasn't coaching. And then suddenly now he's England head coach.
Yeah. You bring up someone's name on the podcast and they do significantly well. That's why I've got to say I am not speaking any more about Julius Cowdrey on this podcast. The worrying thing that if he did well, I don't think I could live with my life.
No. Well, he is going out with an ex guest of ours.
Yes,
though.
He is. Yeah. But her chat wasn't that good, so it does make sense.
So, Archie, did you manage to get to see any of your family over Christmas? Because obviously we've been reading a lot in the papers about family feuds, especially Prince Harry and Prince William.
Yeah. No, I mean, over Christmas, didn't manage to catch up with any of the fam. Oh. I actually did a Christmas Day fast, but actually spent majority of the Christmas day in hospital.
What?
Well,
what happened?
The nanny went back home to see her family. I was in charge of little Johnny Jono. Decided to do a Christmas fast. Wanted her to join in, you know, do something together. But didn't realise that you have to feed a baby quite regularly.
Yeah, you're good.
And then after 12 hours, there was little to none movement from her. She wasn't really responding well, so I decided probably best to take her to A&E. Went to A&E. All sort of now, she's completely fit. But yeah, doctors did sort of, they gave me a leaflet. And I've had a few people from social services coming over just to check all as well.
But luckily the nanny's back.
No, so. I understand. You know, for a three-month baby, before the fast, she was eating a phenomenal diet. You
really?
Know, okay. Built-on, salmon, tuna sashimi, a lot of milk, cottage cheese. It was one of her all-time favourites. Whenever I had a steak, I'd give some to her. So I think it was the fact that I didn't feed her. And I did explain, it was just one of those things that nowadays people do like to fast. And I was doing a 24-hour fast.
Well, it's a tradition as well now,
isn't
it?
Yeah. And again, look, I said, is it possible she might be able to join in next year? And they said, absolutely not. Don't do it until at least she's four. I'm looking forward to that Christmas. That'll be really good fun.
We're talking about family foods, though. Have you been following this whole Prince Harry saga? Because he's thrown his family name under the bus for me. millions. And I was wondering, you know, obviously you've got a bit of a weird relationship with your family. Would you do the same thing to yours? What are your thoughts at all?
Absolutely not. No. I think I speak for the majority of the nation when I say he is coming across like an absolute bellend.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate. You know, really, really good guy back in the day.
Have you known him? Did you?
Yeah. I kind of know him. Okay. In the sense that I haven't, like, talked to him, but I've seen him from a distance.
Oh, right.
So I know how he operates. So I was watching him closely for about 2 hours, and then his security guards asked me to move on. It's such a shame, and I see it all the time, you know, with friends and friends of friends. You know, you meet a girl who is way hotter than you, and next thing you know, you're not coming out for beers. You're not even coming on like a lad's holiday. You can't do beers in the week. You're just never around. They're always on Instagram, just with that girl, having like photos with that girl, just taking photos of each other, eating in a restaurant. And then next thing you know, they're selling a book about their family secrets. I've seen it all before. And I just hope he gets the help he needs, because he is having an absolute shocker. And I suspect that he's probably been spending time with people who live in Putney. That's how bad I think it is.
So Archie, it's time for me to find out who our first guest of the year is. You've been put in charge. You've had a lot of time over Christmas to yourself to get it organised.
Clovis, can I just say once again, it is phenomenal to be back alongside you.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful.
Did you miss me?
Well, I had a busy Christmas, and I didn't have much time to think about it. But yeah. It's good to be back.
Yeah, it is. I am so excited, and I racked my brains over the Christmas period because I had a lot of time. Because I wasn't really doing much.
No.
To think, who are we going to get on to start the year? I've got multiple people that follow me with blue ticks on Instagram, but there was one person I thought who's got great stories, has already been spoken about on this podcast. Mark Axton actually said he was the hardest player he's ever played with and against.
Yes, I think I know you're talking
about. So I thought I'd get none other than the man, the myth, and the legend, Carl Ferns. And I tell you what, he has got some bloody good chat, considering he is from up north. So I think there's one thing to say for the beginning of 2023. Onside! Onside! Chet! Fernsy, welcome to the RigBiz podcast. It is a real treat to have you on.
Oh
yes, please. There you're in the bedroom.
My beautiful face.
I feel like we're on Babe Station.
Oh, yeah. So it's the only place where my computer is. Sorry, boys.
Don't you worry. I understand why the computer's in the bedroom. We all understand. Don't you worry, Fancy.
We are delighted to be joined by rugby legend today, and Carl Ferns, a dynamic back row player, one of the hardest men to ever play the game. Carl, a very happy New Year to you, sir. Great, great victory against the old Tigers. How's it all going?
Yeah, it's going great. Happy New Year to you both. Massive win for us. We've had three big wins at home recently. Put away a good Exeter team at home. Then Sale came up, who had a pack that was dismantling people, really, and we put them away. And then we've managed to beat the champions at home. So
it's all going right since Mike Brown left.
a little bit, yeah, but I'm not sure it's down to that.
Maybe George Merrick leaving has had an impact on everyone, and everyone feels slightly relieved.
No, we're a good tight group up here, mate. There's no egos and no knobheads, really. But they say if you don't know who the knobhead is, it's probably yourself, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, Fernsy, are you enjoying it? Are you sort of enjoying the sort of, I guess, the twilight of your rugby career? And like, how many more years are you going to be up there?
I'm hoping I can play another 2 years. That's the aim. I think I've got rugby in me still. So hopefully I can get another 2 years out. My wife's from the northeast, so I was always going to end up retiring up here. Yeah, it just worked out perfectly that Newcastle came in, and yeah, hopefully I can stay here. I'm actually out of contract the end of this season, so I don't know where I'm going
to
be.
Do you want me to step in and maybe talk to the CEO of the Falcons and see if I can renegotiate your contract for 40% of the fee?
40%? Wow.
That's my terms, Fancy. That's my terms. You want the big bucks, that's what you're paying.
Right, well, if you can get me the big bucks, you can take 40%. I'd love to have you fighting my corner.
We're aimed for £850,000 a year. What I'll do is I'll put together a show reel with all your best hits and runs, and then I'll come up and present in terms of a presentation to the board and say, this is why you need Fernsy on the case.
That would be brilliant.
Have they actually talked to you about a new contract? Is it potentially you could sign a new one up there?
Yeah, I mean they've said they want to keep me, which is good news. And you know, I think they see that I can add value sort of off the pitch as well with younger players and things like that, because I've obviously got a lot of experience. So hopefully they've said they want to keep me, and I'm hoping they'll send something across soon.
Right, write that down.
I will do.
For me to send a little message to Chaser to get a contract to Fernsley ASAP. Okay. We want it ideally January, but if it comes early Feb, we're okay with that.
Well, Fernsley, you are a rare breed. I mean, an incredible player, but in that you're a Scouser who plays rugby union. You know, that's pretty rare. That there aren't many Liverpoolians who play the game. But also, what's even more rare than that is that you're a Scouser who follows Archie Curzon and actually maybe shows some interest in his existence and his words, his philosophical reasonings. So how did you hear about Archie, and, you know, how did you fall in love with his ridiculous oracle on life?
I'm sort of good mates with Nick and Bender, and obviously Archie and Bender's are really tight, so that's where we come across each other. And I was a bit surprised that he actually wanted to be friends with a northerner.
Fernsley, I have to say for the listeners, I have on rare occasions had a night out with Fernsley, and he is great value.
He is
one of the, if not the greatest northerner I know, and very proud to be his friend.
I think he was talking about Ben.
He's massive, and if I ever get in trouble, I can just point to him.
Okay.
Have you ever been past? Been up north, Archie? Have you ever been past Birmingham? Or
Fernsley, the farthest north I've been is Watford, and it's bloody cold there. It's I don't know if you've been to Watford. It's bloody cold. It's a different way of life. The people are a lot friendlier up north. They are a lot more accommodating, a lot more friendly, more salt of the earth. But you know, for me, South London's where it's at. It's just competitive. It's a dog-eat-dog world. It's not just about how much cash you got in your wallets, how many followers you got online, how much, you know, body fat you've got in your body. It's a complex world, but I wouldn't change it for anything. I absolutely love it. And I haven't cried in years. That's one of the best things about it. I'm just so happy.
Even with the state of the markets at the minute.
Fernsley, when you're a high net worth individual like yourself or me, you know, you're a property developer. I'm a developer of some sort. You know, you know as well as me, you know, the cost of living is not going to really affect us. I mean, we'll still be doing our 3 or 4 holidays a year, won't we? I mean, I feel sorry for the people in Watford up north. I mean, obviously, that's going to be tough for them, but look, I can't help being successful. I mean, people will get angry about it. Well, what am I meant to do? Not be good at my job? I can't. I mean, I'm good at my job. I make a lot of money and I like to spend it. I'm loosey-goosey. That's at the bottom of my CV, Fernsley. When you employ me, just in quote, I'm loosey-goosey, quote, Archie Curzon, 2001, Cornwall.
Well, Carl, let's take you back in time, because obviously growing up in Liverpool, not many play rugby, as we said earlier. But how did you actually start playing the sport? Because most fall in love with football there, blue or red. How did you start playing rugby?
I only started playing rugby when I was 11, because I played football. My dad was a footballer. Unfortunately, I didn't get his skills as a footballer. I was just a centre-back. He used to just kick people and snap people. I played football, wasn't very good at it, and then moved to rugby when I was 11. And just fell in love with it straight away. Loved like the physical side of it. Played at 11 at primary school, then played a bit of secondary school, and then the secondary school I was at only had like something like 5 or 6 games of rugby a year. So I was like, right, well, if I want to take my rugby seriously, I need to go to a school that sort of specialises in rugby. And at the time, it was Seba School up in Cumbria. Ended up going there when I was 15. And you know, love my time there, and then sort of had links with Sale as well during that time, and then that's how I got picked up by Sale. So
I can imagine, like many England fans, you were relieved to see the end of Eddie Jones, and you know, you were probably celebrating him being fired, as so was Archie, actually, because he didn't get given an assistant role under him, but more so because he barraged you with an incredible amount of insults. For those that don't know, can you tell us what happened between the two of you and sort of how you replied and you know, to his insults and what the fallout was?
Well, no, I wasn't happy to see him go. I personally would have kept them on probably this close to the World Cup, but he made that decision. But yeah, so I was in France. Let's go back out to Bath. So I played in the Premiership final for Bath. That season, I was involved a lot, and I did play, but probably didn't start as much as I wanted. So I was like, right, I need to make a change in my career. So I had an opportunity to go to the second division of France with Lyon, and took that on, and we ended up getting promoted the first season, and then first season of top 14, we managed to stay up, and then we pushed on to two semi-finals. But the reason I mention that is because when I was on the, when Eddie rang me, he said, "Oh, you're a whinger and a moaner," and then I just sort of said, "Well, I'm sorry, but I left the Premiership club playing in the Premiership final to the second division of France. That's not whinging and moaning about. That's for me. That's doing something about it, making a change in my career, taking a huge risk. Leaving a potential Premiership winning team to go to the second division of France is a risk." So yeah, I just shut them down with that, really. And I don't think I have much to say to that, because it's all true. Yeah, that was one thing he said. And then he said I wouldn't last 15 minutes in a game. And at the time, I was playing against the likes of Dwayne Vermeulen and Sergio Parisse and Victor Vito and everyone like that. And without blowing my own trumpet, they didn't play like, you know, Dwayne Vermeulen or Victor Vito when they were playing against me that year. So for him to say that, I was a bit like, it's not true again. So yes, everyone can get fitter and improve themselves, but I just thought that was pretty rubbish.
So he picked up the phone initially and you said, "Hi, it's Carl here," and he said, "You're a whinger and moaner."
Was he drunk?
No, I picked the phone up and he goes, "Oh, Finch, so you're coming back to England?" And I was like, "No, I'm not. I'm going to stay in Lyon. I'm enjoying my rugby here and I'm going to stay." And then he was like, "Oh, well, you know, you wouldn't last 15 minutes anyway." And that obviously went on to that. And then he was like, "Oh, you're a whinger and a moaner."
Fancy, I'm offended. Put a note down. I'm going to find his number.
It sounds like the way you speak to your employees, though, Archie. You sound a bit like Getty Jones.
Maybe, you know, I do speak to the younger guys in the office and just tell them how crap they are, because that's motivational to them, but not to a seasoned pro like Fernsley. But what do you think he was trying to motivate you to come back and prove him wrong? Do you think that was maybe his tactic?
Yeah, well, that's the only sort of angle I can see in it, really. I don't know whether he spoke to someone and he thought I would react best if he spoke to me in that way. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Fernsley, we should just mention to the listeners, because we've got a lot of listeners up north, if they do see you, it's probably not a good tactic to go and approach you and abuse you. You don't respond kindly to that. So just if you do see Fernsley in Newcastle, we've got a lot of Newcastle students.
At uni, yeah. And Durham.
Don't directly go up to Fernsley and say that he is he's a whinger and a moaner, because
you may not let him tell the tale.
You might not.
How much of the events of 2011, the incredible events, the ones which you can dine out on the post-match circuits for years, for those that don't know, obviously you made the headlines in Bath when you knocked out Gavin Henson. I mean, he must be the most annoying person in the world. What actually happened? What led to you going like, "Gavin, enough's enough, mate. I'm sorry. Night, night."
Well, the lads went to the Thatcher's Brewery, and they were so I turned up late at the pavilion down at the Rec. And it was free. It was about 3 p.m. then, and the lads were already wrestling on the Rec. And it was like, so. And when there's fully grown men wrestling at 3 p.m., you know it's going to end badly. So
that's actually how I like to start most of my nights, Fernsley. Let me know if you're in London for a home game. Come down. We'll start with the wrestle. Tops off, trousers off, just pants, and it's bloody good fun.
Yeah. So then we're wrestling, and then everyone's like chanting "Super Gav," like, "We want Super Gav." So he's slowly sort of coming out, and we're sort of releasing the monster of Super Gav. And then we walk up. So it's just a small walk up from the Rec to Bath, and we go to the first bar, and then Gav just like, there's this couple having a meal and stuff, and he just goes over and flips the table. So we're like, "Oh my god, like, what have we done? Like, what have we released here?" And so Hooper grabs Gav, and I've never seen an arm bend so far, by the way. He's got flexible shoulders, Gav, I'll tell you, because Stu Hooper has bent his arm back, so charged him out of this restaurant and said, "Look, you can't do that. It's a small place in Bath. Like, we need to calm down. So then he put me in the taxi and then went to the next bar, and then he came back. And then he had a fight. People don't know this, but he had a fight with Paul James and one other lad who he swung at and punched. And then we just kept on trying to send him away. And then he came to the Pig and Fiddle, and I was sat down. And he was like, I'm the best player here, Fernsey. Stick with me, we win the league. your missus wants to shag me, which in fairness to him, probably is right, to be honest, isn't it? Like, a woman doesn't want him. So I was like, shut up, trying to ignore him. And he just kept on saying he'd knock me out and things like that. So, at the time, I didn't intend to knock him out. I just wanted to flick him and go, see you later, shut up. But then, unfortunately, hit the off button pretty well.
But it's a shame, Fonzie, because Gavin Henson is actually, without the booze in him, he's a nice guy, isn't he? Because I think he gets a bit of a bad rap. He's quite a quiet, considered bloke.
He's a top lad, yeah. And actually, I think if I didn't know him before that night, I wouldn't have hit him, because I know it wasn't him. But, and then as well, he probably wouldn't be coming up to me and saying he'd knock me out if he knew me. So it's one of them. Like, it's the first time we met.
Did he take it well in terms of when you saw him next? You said, look, mate, you were being a prick. That's what happens. And he was like, yeah, fair enough. No worries.
Well actually, because after it, I shot off out the back door. And then I came back about 10 minutes later, and he was outside, just sort of slumped on the railings. And he was like, Fernsey, bud, someone's bloody hit me. And I was like, yeah, Gav, it was me. He was sound about it. Yeah, we ended up getting on, and we had to sort of stand up and apologise.
Commercial break. Lose weight and make cash now.
With Aflo.
Hello, chassis. I do hope this little advertisement finds you well, and this podcast is progressing well for you. Listen, I'm just going to pop in your ears for 2 minutes as I want to speak about our brand new sponsor, Aflo. Basically, lose weight or make cash. It's a phenomenal app where you can gain access to all the gym and classes at the lowest price in London. Any class, any gym, any way. As a user, you get access to gyms/studios at the best rates. And when you're away on holiday or on business, you can rent out your membership and make cash back. It's a wonderful app where you can rent out your gym membership to other high net worth individuals in the city and make money while they work out. In a nutshell, I have 4 different gym memberships over the Christmas period. I rented them out and I made a significant amount of cash. And all those people renting those memberships got those gym classes or gym memberships at the lowest rates. It is a game changer. Download it now, sort your rig out and make some coin. Love and champagne.
Lose weight and make cash now.
With Aflo.
We had Mark Atkinson on recently, great friend of the show. He said that you were the hardest player he'd ever played with in his history, probably the hardest player he's ever played rugby. And just when we're on the topic of tussles, can you take us through what happened between you and Ryan Caldwell?
Oh, yeah, that's another one. So this is the week after that Gavin incident. So the last thing I want is to be seen fighting again and doing anything like that. So, I'd just bought a bungalow in a village out of Bath, and we were converting it, and Rachel was pregnant, so she was living up north, and I was living with Ryan Caldwell for about 2 or 3 months. And one night he's like, oh, Fernsey, should we go and get a beer from the pub down the road? So I was like, yeah, go on, let's go. And we get in, sit down, and Ryan goes, oh, I'll get the beers in, don't worry. So I went, oh, sound, nice one. About 5 minutes later, he comes back with 2 pints and 4 shots of whiskey. And then I'm like, all right, well, I only came here for a pint, but okay, we'll have a couple of whiskey shots. And I grabbed the pint off him, and then he grabs the 2 whiskey shots and throws them in my eyes. And I'm like, randomly, I'm like, what the hell is going on? I'm blind. I'm like, oh, I can't see. And then he just says, oh, you think I'm scared of you, don't you? And I was like, what are you on about, Ryan? Like, I just came for a pint. Like, what are you on about? And he's like, yeah, you think I'm scared of you? Get out of the side now. And I'm it's like summer. I'm in flip flops, t-shirt, and then so I walk outside. I'm like, I'm just trying everything I can to not have a scrap with him. And he's took his top off, and he's got obviously massive Irishman with tats and stuff like that. And so I'm like, all right, here we go then. So I flick my flip flops off, and then I look up, and there's like a big circle around us and people filming it. And I'm like, well, like I'm sacked. If this like comes out, then I'm definitely getting sacked from Bath. Like a week after I've just punched Gavin Ensign, that now I'm brawling with a Irishman in the middle of Bath. So yeah, he ends up like throwing a few punches, and then I hit him with a good right, and then it's just like, what? Like I was just saying, Ryan, what are we doing? Like let's go. And then luckily the staff never sort of released the video of it.
Wait, Spencey, just wait. You were stone cold sober, first beer of the night, middle of the day. And did he ever explain to you what happened? Was he just trying to prove something? Or what was it's extraordinary.
Yeah, it is. It's extraordinary. It is extraordinary. There was no explanation for it. No, it was just like, but I was like, right, I'm moving out. Like, this is, can't keep living with you after that. Like, I'm moving out. But then in the end, I just ended up staying there. But he was one of my close mates at Bath as well, which made it even stranger. He was like one of my closest mates.
That is one of the weirdest stories I think we've ever been told in this podcast. And actually, in a way, nice way to start an evening. If anyone's out there and you're thinking of date ideas and you want to, you know, do something different with your missus or your boyfriend, if you're a man, maybe start the night with a couple of whiskeys in the face and just see where it goes.
And a bar rule.
Yeah.
Fernsey, this is the final one before we get onto proper rugby. But Mark also said before joining Bath, apparently there's a legendary tale of you and Tulangi. When you're on a night out in Sale, life was going well, you'd prove yourself. But then you and Tulangi were getting like hit on by 15 bouncers. Apparently 15 bouncers surrounded you. And apparently, legend has it, both of you knocked out every single one of them.
Me and Andy Tulangi, I think we got dropped by Mike Brewer, and it was a Tuesday night. And I'd enrolled in university and bought all the books and then quit after a week. So I was like, right, I'm going to get use out of this student card. And I need to get use out of it. So me and Andy went to a student night. We were drinking and we had a few. And then I was like, all right, I'm just going to go to the toilet. So I left to go to the toilet. And I've come back out the toilet and there is absolute chaos just kicking off. The students trying to film the bouncers battering people, and they're throwing their phones in the canal. Just absolute chaos. And then I look over to the far left and Andy Tulagi's getting his head kicked in by six bouncers. And I've gone, oh no, I need to run over and help him there, because there's like blood coming from his head. He's just getting stampled on by bouncers. So I've run over and I've pushed one of them away, and he's come at me. I've hit one of them and he's rolled about 10 metres back. And then as I've done that, everyone's just stopped for about 3 seconds, like looking at each other, going like, what's going on? And in that time, Andy Tulagi's managed to stand up. And then so me and all the bouncers are looking at each other going like, what do we do now? And then we've all looked to our right and Andy Tulagi's stood up. He rips his top off and then he just charges at these, because Deansgate Locks is, it's all linked up by the canal. So they've radioed in, and every bouncer from every bar in that strip of bars has arrived. So Andy's ripped his top off and just charged at this line of 40 bouncers, and the fear in their eyes was funny. Well, at the time it wasn't funny, but looking back at now it is. And then so I've watched him just run past me like it's like a bowling ball and skittle people, and then I've gone, oh, here we go. And then next minute I've got one bounce around my neck, one in each arm, one in each leg, and they're dragging me around the corner where there's no CCTV. So I'm like, right, I'm defenseless here. You know, there's nothing I can do. So I'm like tensing my face up, getting ready to get absolutely pounded. And then I thought, oh, well, actually, I can pretend to be knocked out. So they drive me around the corner, and I've pretended to like be knocked out and go floppy. And then I heard one of them say, oh, he's knocked out. Release him. So he let me go. And then I've got back up and then made my way, fought my way away. And then I've ran up the stairs. And as I've run up the stairs, one of the bouncers hit me in the back of the head. I've turned around and tried to defend myself. And then that's when the police came in, threw us in the van. Yeah, and I've got to say, all charges were dropped.
Fernsey, obviously you did incredibly well with Sale, Bath. And then you move out to France, as we touched on earlier, where your career really came alive. And, you know, nominated top 14 player of the year, should be playing for England. We know all that. But just tell us about that horrific first week when you moved to Lyon, because didn't everything go wrong from the start?
Yeah, it did. So I flew in. I think I flew in on the Friday, got given my car. They've moved training facilities now, but the old training facility, there used to be a BMW garage on the right as you pull out. And there's obviously cars lined either side of this small lane. So I've got my car off the club, left the ground, pulled out, and I've gone down this lane. I've smashed about three BMWs on the right-hand side of the car, because obviously I'm on the opposite side, so I'm not used to it. I've smashed these three BMWs, and I've got out, and I thought, no one's seen me yet. So I was like, right. So I got in my car, drove about 200 meters, like, right, I can't drive off, because imagine that first day at the club when I've done a hit and run, and see later, like, they just sacked me. So I was like, right, I need to go back. So I went back to the manager, and I was like, GG, this has happened. I'm sorry. Ended up, so sorted it off with the BMW garage. And then the next day, the front door was like a vault, so it had about 7 bolts on it, and the keyhole was about that big, that wide, and that fat. And my young lad at the time, Finley, he put a euro in the lock. So this is on Sunday. He put a euro in the lock, and obviously the French don't work on Sundays. It's very hard to find a Frenchman who works on Sundays. So I had to call around for hours to find a locksmith. And he came over and, he quoted me $2,000 to fix this door. So my lad Finley from a euro cost me $2,000 to replace this lock. Then I left to go on camp and did the pre-season camp. Was a good camp, like, went well. The last day we had this bike ride, we stopped off in the middle of the forest, and they literally had 2 boxes of beer for a whole squad. And we were like, what? So we did all this challenge, and then there was 2 boxes of beer, and we were like, right, so where's the rest of it? We've got like 50 blokes here. Like, so we radioed it in for them to bring in like spirits and other things like that, and more booze. So they came, but then as they were, they were getting that drink to us, the Islander boys made this big massive fire in the middle of the camp. So we were cooking on that and just sat around it talking. And then so the spirit arrived, and then me and one of the hookers decided to drink a bottle of gin each. And then I've drank that, and I've stood up. And as I've stood up, I've tripped over one of the branches on the fire. And I fell right across the middle of the fire. So I'm in the middle of the forest in France, about 40 minutes away from civilization. And I've fell across this fire, and I'm not drunk. I don't even know I'm in the fire. So one of the boys picks me out of it and like knocks coals off me. So I'm in agony with that. And then R15 is our doctor at the time. And he's like, right, well, just go and sit in the river. And I was like, oh, thanks, mate. Yeah, 8 years of medical training, and you're just telling me to go and sit in the river. So I was sat in the middle of this river for about 30 minutes. Then I got in a sleeping bag, and I just started going into shock. Like, it was really bad. Like, I was having fits and stuff like that because of the pain, and my body probably like shutting down a bit. So then they called the ambulance, and then got put in the back of the ambulance. And again, I'm thinking, right, well, I'm getting sacked because I'm going to be out for 3 months, maybe, 2 or 3 months, yeah. And I haven't even played a game for the club yet. And so So Pierre sort of puts me into the back of the van and says, "Oh, you're playing next week," like as a bit of a joke. And then, so I drive to this French hospital, and then I wake up in the morning, not even in a room. I'm in the corridor. Like, I'm in the corridor of this like hospital with like people, random people just walking past me. And I look down at my chest, and I've got a load of cocks on my chest, like like loads of, like, must have been about 30 cocks all drawn on my chest. So I'm in the corridor with a load of cocks on my chest. And yeah, the lads obviously drew it on, when I was in the sleeping bag, they obviously drew all them on me. So
that
was my first week at Lyon. And
how long were you out for, Fenzi?
2 months. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Cause it was awful because I needed every 2 days, I had a nurse coming over to the flat to do my bandages and dressings and things like that. It was horrible, horrible, horrible. I wouldn't burns of horrible things like.
Yeah, that, to a lot of the younger listeners, just, you know, we have a lot of school children and younger guys. If you are going to start a fire, make sure you do it somewhere safe and don't lie down on it.
I can consume a bottle of gin.
Yeah. If you're going to consume, just do half a bottle of gin and you should be fine.
Fernsey, you've been absolutely incredible. We just want to touch on one other thing, because we do a lot of work with the RPA. We did a lot of work with Restart Rugby. And I know they've helped you out previously. I've read a couple of interviews you've done before. Can you just tell us about when you've grown up in Liverpool? I mean, obviously a completely different life to you have now, but you walked into a bookies at the age of 14 with a fiver in your hands. What happened about an hour later? How much were you walking out with? And also, we've spoken to, you know, a couple of people who've battled with gambling and now worked it out. How good was it, or how tough was it? How bad did it get before it could all sort of work itself out?
Because being a bigger lad, I looked a lot older, so went into bookies quite young. So yeah, I went in there with a fiver and then roulette machines, and then walked out with like $2,500 as a 14 year old. So
that's a great day in the office.
Yeah, probably the worst thing that could have happened, because then I was probably hooked on gambling for the rest of my life, really. Luckily, when I was at Bath, I got in contact with Don McPherson. He helped me massively. I think I got to the point where I felt it controlled everything I did. And when you get to that point, it's pretty, one, embarrassing and scary, pretty scary as well, because, you know, you feel like something's got a grip of you, like you can't sort of shake. But it's probably a battle as well today, like, still, like, I know that I've got a lot of, well, there's a chance, you know, potentially me, I could do something really stupid and ruin potentially my family's financial future and stuff like that. So I'm very much, you know, want to, you know, don't want to have this thing over me, and I want to try and control it. And at the minute, I am, luckily.
It's bloody, well, it's seriously impressive you talking about it, because I know there'll be many guys who listen to this podcast who probably deal with it. We had a guy on the podcast that you interviewed that had a terrible problem.
He lost like
£3.5 million.
But borrowed from like sort of 40 loan sharks, 50 loan sharks.
But fair enough. Have you, just to finish off before we go into the chat or no chat, obviously you have got a new venture in Newcastle that's probably distracting you from doing anything, which is your beer. How is that going? Because obviously you're a rival to More Lash, which is a far superior beer. I'm only joking, Fenzie. But how's it all going up there? How's it going with the beer?
Yeah, so it's going really well. We're in a few local shops in Jesmond, in a few bars in Newcastle. So it's manawea.co.uk. It's a 4.4% pilsner, like fruity pilsner. And, you know, I think it's, you know, it's one of them that you can have a session on, really. And it's not, because a lot of craft beers, you can have one and then go, oh, it's a bit, it's too hoppy, I'll move on. And I just feel like ours, like, you can have a good few, five or six of them.
Maybe we can get a discount for our listeners. Do you do delivery to people's houses online or not? Is it e-commerce?
Yeah, online. So online, yeah. Let's go. Rigbiz 15.
Rigbiz 15 for what? 15% off?
15, yeah.
does he have jet? Or does he have no jet? Does he have jet? Or does he have no jet? Does he have jet? Or does he have no jet? Gonna ask those questions now.
Matt Banahan.
Chat, like weird chat.
Gavin Henson.
No chat.
George Ford.
No chat.
Peter Stringer.
Chat.
Anthony Watson.
Chat.
Ben Cohen.
No chat.
Mark Cueto.
Chat.
Matthew Tate.
No chat.
Adam Radwan.
Chat.
And Dylan Armitage.
Chat. He's got chat as well.
Nick Abedaron?
He's got good chat.
Yeah,
he's got good chat. Fernsey, you've got incredible chat. Fernsey, thank you so much for coming on, mate.
We massively appreciate it.
Good luck with the rest of the season.
We'll have you on again for more banter. Love and champagne.
Cheers. See you, boys.
Three of the best stories I've ever heard.
Oh, my God. Yeah. What a goodie. Good guy.
And a Scouser.
Yeah.
I never thought you'd be friends with a Scouser.
No, he's the only one. He slipped through the net, but he's a good one to have as a friend. Because I tell you what, if you run into any trouble in Infernos and he's behind you, then all good. You just send him in to sort them out.
So, Archie, I was thinking, because you spend so much of your time on LinkedIn as a dating app and also in a professional capacity.
Yes, I do.
I decided...
Spent roughly 70% of my day on LinkedIn.
70%?
Yeah.
How do you get any...
Well, it's just where business is happening. It's
business dating.
Yeah, it's just bubbling with action.
Well, I decided to go on and look at your over 20,000 connections.
Yeah.
And see what they were sort of saying about the new year. So just trying to work out, are they good on LinkedIn? Are they not? So I thought this could be like a new little section where I read out some of their recent posts and you say what you think about
it. Mate, what a treat for me. We start the year with a new section, a LinkedIn section, something that is so close to my heart.
Well, I picked these out because I thought they were quite ridiculous, quite self-effacing, quite arrogant, quite rude, but maybe you'll have a different thought. So the first one's from Joseph Vallant.
Joseph Vallant, is he MD of a business?
CEO of Trade Mastermind.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Good business, good client. I think I spoke to him back in August about investing in a built-on scheme that I was doing, whereas... trying to consolidate a few different built-on businesses in Algeria.
Right.
Really good. Interesting guy. Punchy. I tell you what, he enjoys a good business lunch, I tell you.
Yeah.
Punchy guy.
But he got quite a lot of abuse.
What's he saying?
He got quite a lot of abuse for this status. Yeah. He wrote, there's not a cost of living crisis, .. There's a not knowing how to make money crisis. There's a knowledge crisis.
Yeah.
Arrogance. Rude, no?
No. That's just pure fact. That is actually so profound. If I was to get a tattoo, I'd probably get that tattooed on me. That's pretty much correct. Actually,
do you not think that insults everyone who's struggling to make a living and stay alive?
Can you write that down? Just see if we can find a tattooist who would do that.
Right, okay. Let's move on. Alexander Charles says, I'm traveling.
Oh, Alexander Charles. Let me guess. Works for Deloitte.
No, construction, big property company.
Got it. I spoke to him about potentially doing a renovation on Clapham Common, I think back in 2018. Not such a good guy, I'll be honest with you. Was a little bit frosty and didn't like my plans to put a Lido in the middle of Clapham Common, which I think would be a absolute money spinner.
Well, he said, I've been travelling for work in early January and instead of eating a fancy dinner out, I've decided to cook a cheaper meal in my hotel room. Even though the hotel room doesn't have a kitchen, I've managed to use my coffee machine to cook chicken with butter and garlic. Although my company allows me to expense dinner while I'm travelling, I wanted to save money because I know that every pound counts on the P&L. It's the little things that get you promoted. Has he lost his mind?
That is chat. I mean, what is he going on about? Actually, if that's a connection of mine, can you make a note to delete him and block him? Making chicken on a coffee machine. Mate, when I'm out with work, I'm going fine dining. When I'm out for lunch, Clunders, and they see those receipts come in for, you know, £600, £700 lunch, they know that I'm doing deals.
Okay, well, let's finish with Matt Latham.
Matt Latham, let me guess, works for a tech company.
Yeah, co-founder at Circa 500.
Yeah, Circa 500. Okay, interesting business. So I spoke to them about potentially coming in on a private equity deal to do with a built-on business and a egg white business that we're going to, again, consolidate.
Were they interested?
No, I think he thought at the time it wasn't right for them because they do something completely different.
Right, well, he posted this last week. We're 1% of the way through 2023. If you're not getting up at 4 a.m., meditating, affirming, hydrating, journaling, reflecting, stretching, exercising, parenting, showering, emailing, and eating breakfast all before 6 a.m, then you may as well stay in bed and wait for 2024.
Yeah, good guy.
Really?
I really rate that. Actually, again,
4 a.m. club hashtag.
That's a great hashtag. Write that down, Curtis, because okay. I want to use that hashtag. And also, I'd like to get that all in a tattoo instead of the first one, because I think that's really important. All those things are really important. If I'm honest, I might even start a new hashtag and go 3 a.m. club, just so I can get even more stretching, affirmation, journaling, and exercise in. And I mean, I dread to think what it would be like if you got up at 2 a.m. I mean, how much stuff you could get done before 6 is quite astonishing. Might try it for a week.
Well, Archie, it was a joy to see you once more. Carl Ferns was even better than you were, but you were pretty good. And I know you've got a couple of treats lined up on the road over the next couple of weeks. My God.
I mean, we have got a lot planned. 2023 is going to be our year. I mean, they've all been our year since we started the podcast, but we are going to be doing more live shows because people absolutely love it.
They
love it on the pod on a weekly basis, which we'll be doing every week this year, is quite incredible.
Such a commitment.
Don't get paid for it.
No.
But we just decide to... We're a charitable organisation. We are cleaning up the internet of horrible chat.
That's completely right, Archie. We're looking out for our listeners. We're giving back to them. And actually, one thing we should say is it's January, guys. Sort your chassis out. Go download Athlo, sign up, and get to the gym.
If you're looking down at your wobbly chassis listed podcast, firstly, stop. You're not allowed. This is Riggs Only podcast. But if you want to get in shape, don't just do January. Do the whole year. That's how you get a rig like mine.
2023 could be the year to get a great
rig.
And
that's why I get on Athlo, because you can use any class, any gym. It's phenomenal.
But also, if you do have a membership and you're going away for a nice couple of weeks skiing, you plan on going to Dubai.
It's a great app, because you get fit, but you also make coin.
Amazing.
I love that.
There's literally no losing. There's no losing.
But great podcast, Clodis.
It was wonderful.
So good to be back.
Yeah.
I am so pumped.
I can
honestly
tell. I can tell.
I've had to stop doing pre-workout, by the way.
Yeah.
I had a slight problem in December. And I've just cut that out of my life now.
Well, thank God. You're sweating a lot as well.
I just got to the point where I was getting up and I was doing pre-workout and doing pre-workout before I went to bed. It wasn't working out for me.
Yeah, you got to do it.
There was something going on. I was getting the shakes, so I didn't have it.
Yeah.
But I am so pumped for everything to come. And I sometimes think, can this podcast get any better? And then we go and deliver a bloody podcast like this.
I know. And we've got a lot more.
I can't wait to listen to it. That's how good it is.
I know.
I'll be listening to it at least 3 or 4 times.
And we've got
Thursday.
A lot more treats in store. But Archie, I've got to crack on because I've got a couple of things I've got to do. But
mate,
it's wonderful to see you.
I've got to go. Because since I've been sober, it's opened up my eyes to walking, and I like to go and take a walk around the common, take it all in, take in all the nature, the beauty, the trees, little Pear Tree Cafe, which is a beautiful part of the common. And that's a little thing I do every day in January. I just go and appreciate what Clapham is, and the common is the heart.
That's beautiful. And if you wanted to raise your heartbeat even
can
more,
I just
you
say
could
at
have
the end of that,
athletes
just because the person I am in January, namaste.
I said 5 in the morning, I wake up to 5 for my yearnings. Fear in my mind is a warning, pray to the one you're relying. I've been wandering all day, I tried to be fine but I can't be. The noise in my mind wouldn't leave me, I tried to get by but I'm burning. I'm behind, my mind is